Today's What Do You Think program is brought to you by your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer and Deb McBride in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, and Tim Fritz in Bad Axe. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Good morning. We have a couple of guests in our studio today from the Huron County CAN Council, Huron County Child Abuse and Neglect Council. That's what the CAN stands for, and it's a prevention group. You're not promoting it, you're preventing it. And basically, as I remember, the CAN Council doesn't have programs of its own. They help other programs that have been established that kind of are in the area to prevent child abuse and neglect. Am I correct in that?
Yep. What we do is we do some fundraisers and stuff to help support programs to help prevent child abuse and neglect. For instance, some of our programs are the Say Yes to No Parent Education Program that we had last year. We support the Love and Logic Parent Education Programs. We're supporting a program called Period of Purple Crying. And we support a new program, too, and maybe I should also mention, is Darkness to Light Workshop, which we are going to have a program January 20th, as a matter of fact. And this program is a really very informational program in regard to sexual child abuse and recognizing it and handling it appropriately. So it's a very good program. Program that we fund and that we support is a support group called the Postpartum Support Group. They're going to be meeting on January 18th at the Huron Medical Center at 6 o'clock. And they have a few dates, January 18th, February 15th, March 21st, April 18th, and May 16th. And all this can be found on our website. But, yep, we support some really nice programs.
And before we go any further, I should introduce my guest. I don't believe I did that. That's one of my, my fault there. June Schweitzer and Tim Rutkowski, Huron County Prosecutor. They're both on the CAN Council. They're our guests today, so thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for having us.
Merry Christmas to you.
And Merry Christmas. Yes, and Happy New Year almost.
Now, when I get in my car and it's cold, I think of the CAN Council, I think of the roof sit.
Yeah.
You got that coming up, don't you?
Yes, that is coming up. That is February 3rd.
I believe so.
Yep, February 3rd.
Still atop McDonald's Food and Family Center?
Yes, it is. Right now we're looking for teams. If anybody can form a team of possibly six people, a couple on the roof and a couple to help serve, was it chili or soup?
The store.
Yep, within the store and stuff. There's time to sign up their teams, or if there's any businesses or anybody that cannot get a team together but would like to have their own little fundraiser for the CAN Council for the roof set fundraiser, and I don't know, put pennies in a pig bank or whatever creative idea that they can come up for a fundraiser, we're, please give us a call, and we would accept anything. This is one of our biggest fundraisers. Last year we raised over $15,000, and these are $15,000 prevention dollars, which is to help support some of the programs that we had mentioned earlier in the show.
And prevention dollars go a lot farther than after-the-fact dollars.
Correct.
Because the after-the-fact dollars are expensive, and they keep on piling up. If you can prevent it, you're preventing a whole lot of expense down the road.
Exactly.
Not to mention the emotional abuse part of it as well. I mean, it's not just dollars
definitely.
And cents here. It's to help kids and help families.
True. Yes.
Yeah, that's very true. And that's why what June said is true. It is one of our largest fundraisers, and it just helps fund those programs that June had mentioned. Without that, I guess my office would see a much more work, I'm sure, because that's one of the things. It's hard to measure the prevention and the success of prevention programs. Normally you see somebody go to counseling and say, okay, well, they were successful, they weren't. And in this case here, with the prevention dollars, they really do, as you mentioned, they help us in the long run to maybe alleviate the amount of money we'd have to spend on the programs that we have for people that commit crimes or are involved in abuse neglect situations.
And are we seeing this on the rise? You deal with it on a daily basis in your office. Do you see this as becoming more prevalent, or it's being reported more and more of it's getting to you than maybe had done in the past?
You know, I believe that over the last year or so, we've seen more an increase in the number of cases that we have filed on behalf of the office for abuse and neglect. It ranges from all things. I think there's an ebb and flow. I don't know if you'd agree with that, June, but, you know, holiday times brings on a lot of stressors, and those
you think it's the most joyous time, but there's a lot of stress this time of year, especially families are hurting with the economy and kids' expectations, and no one likes to disappoint on Christmas morning a kid.
Right. And, you know, and that's stress. You know, stress is such a huge word, you know, because there are so many different types of stress. But when we're talking families, and we're talking family stress, you know, and you kind of put that all together, well, family stress is going to be inevitable, right? And so,
I think that's under the definition of children. I think it's like, you know, stress is in there somewhere.
Well, in a family stress also, though, I mean, you could have your financial stress. And I mean, especially in today's economy, in today's world, I know lots of families who are just under a lot of financial overwhelming kind of stress. And that's really hard when you're within a family and you're having that kind of stress and you're really focused, you're overwhelmed, you're focused on where's the next meal going to come, where's the mortgage payment going to come, where's everything, where's the car payment, and how long is the electricity going to stay on, you know, and that's the kind of stuff. So then you have children, and they're screaming and hollering and all excited for Christmas, and, you know, and you're focused on, you're overwhelmed and focused. You know, if you don't know how to handle it appropriately, then it can get very frustrating. Things can start escalating between children and yourself if you can't handle this appropriately. What happens? You know, some bad, you know.
Right, June. How about the fact that not only with children, but as we grow older, you know, we go back to our parents and visit with our children, and our siblings are with us, too. I mean, that also can present some stressors for people that get together with the extended family as well.
Yes, exactly.
All I have to do is go down to the sheriff's office and see the dispatch log and see how much stress there was Christmas time with where the officers have to get called off because family has gotten together.
But, the one thing in regard that I do want to mention, which was some research done by the University of Illinois, is there, again, and like I mentioned before, there are all different kinds of stress, but especially in a family unit, if one person is stressed in a family, it's a trickle-down effect within your family. So maybe me as an adult, I may not be stressed, I may not be stressed, but maybe a child could be stressed, about something. And that's where my parenting skills need to be kicked in, and I need to know how to handle. For instance, maybe a child raising animals, and a loss of an animal. And that is big with a child, you know. If we're not paying attention and we don't know how to handle it, you know, the child could be acting out. There could be just a lot of emotional stuff going on, you know, with that child. A strategy is to sit down and talk to the child, you know, and talk it through and talk about what had happened, you know, and try to kind of, you know, help relieve that. Try to work it out, that stress, together with that child, you know. But, you know, as an adult, if we're going through our stresses, and stresses, too, within a family could be health stress, right? You know, our health. Yep. And not only financially, but there just could be many factors, you know. But what we got to do, we got to just sit down and discuss it, you know. And list our goals and handle it. There could be something so overwhelming, like my room in my house. My office is so overwhelmed with stress. It's got all my bills. It's got all my... And it's like, I just keep walking past that room going, I can't handle this room. But what I'm doing now is taking it a little piece at a time, okay? A little piece at a time, trying to clean up that room. And each little piece that I try cleaning up, right, it's relieving my stress. I'm looking back and I'm going, I'm accomplishing something here. This is very good. But you know, if a parent, as parents and as a family, if you get so overwhelmed in distress, you're not going to focus. You're not going to focus appropriately. It's
like
some bad
tidings. You and I had talked earlier about the fact that stress is going to be around us. Yeah. It's just how we deal with it and how to learn to deal with it. And some people just need to talk to somebody else, whether it's a professional or a friend or a sibling that you trust, that you know, just to be able to, for lack of a better term, vent. But
sometimes just saying it out loud puts it in perspective.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you know, and so to make the holidays joyous for your family, so when the kids grow up, like, you know, remember those days when we were younger and we did this and that. And they wouldn't notice the stress then. Because, the worst thing in the world is you start to act out by either yelling at your kids or physically.
And both are abuse. Whether it's verbal or physical, it can both be termed abuse.
Yes, you know? Yes.
What's the phrase you always say, June? You tell your children every day that you love them.
Yes.
I think that's the biggest thing that you can do is, you know, to always tell you, I love you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a gentle touch, which means a hug.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, kids crave it.
Yeah.
A nice gentle hug or a nice gentle massage, you know, on the shoulders, you know, a little back rub, mm-hmm. a little hug, just to know, so they know that, yes, you're there, you care, you know, and
well, even for the holidays, there's financial stressors. Parents want to make sure that their children have at least as many gifts as they did when they were younger. I mean, that's want your children to have a better life than you had. But with today's day and age, it's tough for that to happen. But some of the little things that we had talked about before, you know, just you taking your kids out ice skating or going out sledding and just spending time with them is more to them than probably any monetary or any gift, some toy or whatever. It's more than that. Just to spend the time with them.
Because that's really what they want.
They want to spend time with you.
Yes.
A lot of the stress you talked about, you know, with economics and that, were things that the person was out of control with.
Mm-hmm.
But do we hang on to a lot of stress that we could be dumping, that we do have control with? Maybe we still have a job, but maybe it's downsized and our hours are cut back and we can't have HBO and Stars on our plan. Mm-hmm. And these are things we just don't want to give up because we feel like we're going backwards, where you're mounting stress as opposed to tackling the problem.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you sit down and discuss with the family. You know, we had to back off on our cable, you know, and we sat down and we discussed it with our family. And I said, do we really watch it? Do we really watch these movies, you know, or do we watch all these channels? What do we really need, you know? And surprisingly, my girls were really cool about it. Like, we don't need TV at all, Mom. You know, I've got these books and these are great books and blah, 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 you know, and so I think when you sit down and discuss with the family and come up with some other ideas, not just say, okay, we're done with the cable, that's it, but come up with some other ideas. We have foosball. Okay, let's go have a foosball time, or let's, you know, replace that TV time with some more family time.
Or card games.
Card games, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
I've never seen my family playing cards. That's not stress-free.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
Well, you got to come up with a plan that, you know, it's just other than TV, something other than TV that, you know, a family, you know,
I mean, you know,
together.
People want the new car. They want all this other stuff where maybe this isn't the most important thing, and maybe getting some of that stress out of your life will make you happier without it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know. And if you're dealing with stress and you want to get rid of it, it seems like that's a good place to start.
It's a good
live
point.
Within your mean and
it is a good point, though, Craig, because it's true. A lot of times people say, well, you know, it's out of my control, this or whether or not I'm able to keep my job because the company's going to do what it wants or whatever. But we do have some things in our control, like the cable or like what kind of vehicle you drive or, you know, what you buy extra than just the general necessities. That is true.
Mm-hmm. But I think the most important thing is you got to value yourself first. You know, you got to value yourself.
But that isn't based on a good looking car. It isn't based on good looking clothes. It's based on an internal feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're feeling good about where you are because your stress is relieved, it seems like you'd be in a better position the other way.
I think feeling good and value yourself. Thank you. as a person will help start relieving some of that stress. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And value your family. You know what I mean? And really sit back and find out really what is important. Is that new car? To me, right now, four wheels that move is very important to me so I can get to work from point A to point B. But anyways, but that brand new car and all that right now in today's economy, I mean, I'm reality checking right now, and I know that's just not going to happen right at the moment. So what do I have to do, you know?
But we raise a generation watching shows like the Kardashians and that, and everybody wanting to be the Nicole Richie or whatever her name, you know, all these Hiltons and that, you know, with all the money and the jewelry and, you know, Gucci bags and all this stuff. And, you know, it just seems like it'd be hard as a parent to get the right values in there, that you don't have to go out and try and live like royalty when you don't have the funds of royalty.
Well, sure it is, but see, that's where, as a family unit, okay, you know, we have to set our limits, you know, we have to set our goals, you know, with what we can really do within our own family unit. And if we want the Cadillacs in life of everything, then you know what, now guess what, I think we have to work a little harder for it, you know, in order to get it. And I think that's, especially with my parenting class and stuff, you know, and that's what, you know, we really tried to focus on is, you know, we're not going to have that instant gratification. And it's just not working now, not in today's world. So now we got to sit back and take a look and say, okay, you know, what's really going to work within our household, you know, and how can we work together? There's something else I really want to say, too, in regard to stress, and, you know, if we can prevent the stress or if we can resolve our stresses as a family unit, then guess what? We start building strong families. That's a good thing, because once we start building strong families, then we can start working together and start building whatever our goals are, whatever goals anybody sets, you can start building them and start achieving those goals.
Because much of which we see, Craig, I think you can attribute back to family life as a kid growing up. Whether or not a child is exposed to domestic violence, so then they themselves commit domestic violence, or some of the values passed from a parent to their child, to respect other people's property, respect other people, not lay your hands on them. You know, those kind of things. And no right from wrong. And it all gets back to building, like June says, a strong family. I think when you do that, build those strong relationships with your children, it just enhances our society. Because if that's one thing that we've seen over the years, that's probably the major breakdown, is the strength of our families and what parents are able to convey to their children or choose to convey to their children.
And we got to remember that as parents, we are the role models and we are our children's teacher, you know. And so what we teach our children and the values we give to our children, it will go on for generations and generations if they're appropriate. Now, on the other hand, if they are inappropriate values, unfortunately, this is what children are raised with. This is what children are taught. This is what is, you know, connected in their brains.
And they expect that that's the way it's supposed
expect,
to be.
Yep. And so what happens, right? Yeah. And the bad things continue in the next generations.
Is it a bit different with children? Because as an adult, as a parent, you can say, this is my family unit. This is my focus. This is what is important. Kids have the family, and they also have their peers. Mm-hmm. They're sort of split that way, where they're, you know, they can understand this is what the family needs to do, but then they go to school and they see what the other kids are doing and how they interact with their families, and you kind of get a mixed bag into that.
Well, that's why, I don't know if you agree with me on this, June, but that's why early on is where you make your greatest impact. Once kids are in high school, I mean, or even in junior high, they're already, as you mentioned, they're starting to gravitate more towards their friends. I mean, there's a point in time where you're like, I don't want my parents, if you're going to drop me off at school, make sure it's like 3 blocks away and I'll walk there, or, you know, that kind of thing.
I'm sure if your dad's the prosecutor, that might be something you'd want to do. But
you know, as they're younger, or when they're younger, that's probably where you make the most impact on them. And then as they get older, they have that sense of, you know, I don't have to fit in as much, or, you know, it's probably not to the same degree. Because you've already instilled that into them.
And at the early age, you're instilling in them what kind of friends they may want to have, as opposed to the troublemakers, the people who are always getting into mischief and things that you as a parent certainly don't want them involved in.
And being a parent, though, you know, I just want to say, you know, parents, don't give up on your junior high and high school kids, because if anything, they that age needs you the most. And talk about stress levels. Sure. But, you know, being a parent is not an easy thing, you know. And again, as far as those stress levels, you know, we need to take care of them. You know, we need to take care of them. And then we need to even maybe set a little more goals. We know that we're raising teens, and we're having the stress with them wanting to become independent, right? So how are we going to handle that? You're hoping that through the years that you have taught them very well, maybe just kind of keep reminding them of the rules, but also, I don't know, in my teen, I have three beautiful teenage daughters, you know, but in my mind now, my stress is, okay, are my teens ready for adulthood now? Did I teach them everything they need to know? You know, do they know the financial literacy? Do they know what compound interest is? Do they know, you know what I mean? And just all that. So that's all hitting my mind. You know, my oldest is graduating this year. She turns 18 in January. It's adulthood time, you know, and I'm sticking right by her and making sure that she is prepared and set for the adult world. And, you know, the thing is, I guess we got to realize, too, that when they become adults and they start going out on their own, they're going to make mistakes just like we have, you know, but it's just how they handle them. And I guess as parents, you know, I'm hoping that we can teach our kids how to resolve stress, you know what I mean, or the mistakes they make. You know, there's going to be consequences all the time in our lives, but how are we going to handle it, and are we going to keep moving forward to succeed?
And everybody has stress.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you think
everybody does. It's everybody. Inevitable.
It depends on what kind of stress it is. But anybody has stress. And if people remember that, you know, because sometimes you say, well, they're doing well. You know, their kids are never in trouble. They have a wonderful life. You get the white fence and, the, you know, with all the cars and all that stuff. But in reality, you really don't know what's going on in a person's life. Rest assured, they have stress, whether it's financial, mm-hmm. whether it's family,
that's right.
whether it's, you know, you name it.
Right.
There's stress there.
Yes.
But
yes.
It is truly how you deal with it.
Yep.
We're going to take a break right now for about 60 seconds, and then we'll be back with more. We have our guests from the CAN Council.
When you're looking for something important to your health and well-being like Blue Cross Blue Shield health insurance for yourself or your employees, are you willing to put your trust into someone on the other end of an 800 phone number? Or what about that click of a mouse? Are you willing to trust these people that you don't even know? Here's a much better idea. Contact one of your Huron County Farm Bureau insurance agents. They grew up in your neighborhood, you share the same zip codes, they probably even know your family. These are the people you should put your trust in. When you're insured through one of your Huron County Farm Bureau insurance agents, you can rest easy knowing that they'll be there today, tomorrow, and always to answer questions and make adjustments as families grow and your needs change. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Contact one of your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents. Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer or Deb McBride in Elkton, Deb Croswick in Unionville, Casey Yan in Harbor Beach or Obley, or Tim Fritz in Bad Axe.
Good morning. Skies will brighten up a bit today as a bubble of high pressure slides off to our north. We should see some occasional sunshine this afternoon, and a chilly air mass will remain in place. It looks like skies will cloud over again tonight as an area of low pressure approaches from the west, pushing a little bit of light snow into the area tomorrow. Things will remain unsettled on Friday as well, thanks to some upper level low pressure crossing the area. Temperatures will moderate nicely. We're back into the 30s by tomorrow and could be into the upper 30s by Friday. Lingering flurries, then becoming partly sunny at times today. Highs 18 to 23. Winds west to northwesterly at 10 to 20 and gusty. Those winds will diminish this afternoon. There's a 30% chance of precipitation. Becoming mostly cloudy tonight. Lows 15 to 20 with a south to southwesterly breeze at 5 to 15. Chance of precipitation 30%. Periods of light snow tomorrow. We could see a few inches locally. Highs 32 to 37. South to southeasterly winds at 10 to 15, an 80% chance of precipitation. Scattered snow showers and flurries on Friday, middle to upper 30s. From WLEW Precision Weather Service, this is meteorologist Russ Murley.
We now return to What Do You Think with Craig Routsman.
And we are back. Our guests in the studio today are from the Huron County CAN Council. We have June Schweitzer and Tim Rutkowski, the Huron County Prosecutor, also on the CAN Council Board as well. And we've been talking about the CAN Council and stress, family stress in particular. And one of the things that has been around, it seems, in my entire lifetime is people trying to relieve stress chemically, whether it's alcohol, whether it's other drugs. And is this something that a trap that people are falling into? Is this something that, ends up bringing in more stress in their life?
Yeah, it actually does bring in more stress.
Well, when you get a hold of it, it's stressful. We know that.
People turn to alcohol, and, with the alcohol, if they decide to get behind the wheel, we see them with drunk driving cases. But many domestic cases start off with, an argument over, this person's drinking too much, and then they get abusive, and then the police get called. Or, even with the children. I mean, growing up, how many times you see that with a person that's an alcoholic, or abuses alcohol, and the children will grow up in that environment, and they tend to, as June mentioned earlier, it's learned behavior, and they do that. You mentioned something else, though, and that was... I think you quoted it as chemically
de-stressed.
Yes, chemically distressed, which even prescription meds, because that is one of the major things we see now. Even more so than alcohol, it seems like using Valium, Vicodin, whether it belongs to you or not, and then that presents other issues.
And it may have started off as a legitimate prescription that they just got hooked on.
Yes.
And they keep going for it as a crutch.
Yeah.
But... But this all affects the family, and even if you are, quote-unquote, mellowing out, maybe the rest of the family isn't watching you.
No.
And it does create stress on the children, on the kids, on the teens. And, if they're chemically de-stressing or whatever, they may not be physically abusing, but the emotions and the emotional abuse, horrible. What it does to children,
Children walking around on eggshells.
Yes.
When the next shoe's going to drop.
Exactly. Not good.
No, not at all. But we see that in a number of cases, and so I think it's an excellent point that mm-hmm. is where sometimes people have that fallacy of, well, I'm just going to de-stress myself that way, but in the end, it doesn't work out.
It's just pushing the stress back. Basically, you're hiding it from yourself for a while, and it's going to be there tomorrow,
right?
With a hangover,
mm-hmm.
Right? That's why they say with the research from University of Illinois and University of Missouri, they sit there and they say, hit the stress right on, try to resolve it right on, don't keep ignoring it, and don't keep turning the other way, whatever. And if it's a big problem, hit it a little at a time. And those little accomplishments will end up being a bigger accomplishment, And
sort of like your room, right?
Correct. That's why I brought up my room. That is correct. Even with financial stress, hit it a little at a time. We didn't get this way overnight, And if we can just do it a little at a time before we know it, hopefully one day we'll start saving. We'll start have a little savings account, and moving forward. But, my hopes would be that these people who do the drug, the chemicals, the drugs, alcohol, whatever, they can just set the stuff aside and really take a look at their children, okay, and remind themselves that they are their teacher, number one. They are their teacher. And number two, I really wish that they could take a look at their child and really take a look at and think about the character traits they would like to see with their children when they become adults, and really think hard on that, and then take a look at the drugs or the alcohol, and is this what you want for your kids, and this is this the traits that your kids will develop if they continue to do the things that they maybe shouldn't be doing. And I don't know, just, thoughts. Because I think that any parent, even in my parenting classes, we found commonalities and found that all the parents and all the grandparents wanted the similar character traits. They wanted the kids to succeed. They wanted the kids to be respectful and loving and caring and giving and all that. And it's really hard for me to believe that people who do these things mm-hmm. don't want the same thing for their children. And if they do want those things for their children, then they better take a real hard look at the things that they're doing and that they're teaching their children. Because again, you know, these things stick in these kids' minds. You know, these things, the wires are connecting. Kids are learning, and it stays there forever, you know. And think about
this. Treat our kids as what they are. That's right. A precious treasure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if parents would do that, mm-hmm. I mean, you send that message to your child that way.
Right.
They're important, right?
Yes.
That's why you tell them certain things, like, I love you. You've done really well in school. And if they struggle at times, you say, hey, we'll work on that with you.
Yep.
And
we'll work it through.
Yeah, work it through.
And, you know, once it's worked through, that's success. That's an accomplishment. That's huge. You know? And that's something to be proud about.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
We've talked family stress. Do kids get trapped in it? I mean, if you're an adult and you're having problems with your partner, you can say, enough, we're going to get a divorce, blah, blah, blah. The kids, mm-hmm. though, they're kind of stuck with what is there, and they have to deal with whatever cards they've drawn. And so is it a different factor for kids as to how they can relieve this stress? Because they can't walk away from it. They right. got to go home to it every day.
You know, kids do stress, and they show their stress in a different kind of way, especially younger kids. They could be bedwetting. They could be acting out. They could go to drugs and alcohol, hang out with a different kind of friends. Friends that we liked before, if stresses are happening in their lives, they're going to be hanging out a different kind of friends that will maybe guide them down the wrong path, okay? Mm-hmm. And stuff like that, that, you know, maybe as parents, and if we are going through our problems and are separating or whatever, we really need to take hold of the children and sit down and discuss with them maybe the truth, the reasons why things are happening. But we are still your parents, and we still love you, and still guide them, still be there for them. You know, the thing for kids, again, is still continue to set the rules and be clear on what your goals are for them. Even though you're going through those terrible, terrible times with your significant other or whatever, you know, still be a parent and still set those rules. Still be clear with everything as far as the goals you want for them in their lives, and be there for them. You know, make sure they eat healthy and make sure they rest well. And, you know, I mean, we got to resolve our issues, but we also got to remember we are parents, and we got to set and continue these goals for our children for success. And so, again, those character traits, that they develop good character traits.
I was going to say that you can't also, as a parent that's going through a divorce, pit one child against, you know, a child against a parent. Playing one off of the other. It just, that's so destructive.
Yes.
We know how well pawns fare in a chess game.
Yeah.
They don't.
Not well, no. And that's why when people are going through that separation, or even if they're not married and there's a custody situation with the children, you don't put your child in that position of being the pawn, because we see that over and over again on cases, you know. And in the end, when that child becomes an adult, that's what they've learned, right?
Yes, exactly. They learn what we taught them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is there any, I'm not going to say easy, but reliable way of detecting child abuse? And what do you do if you suspect?
What we do if we suspect child abuse is we call DHS.
Because people are concerned, you know, they're going to know I said something, and it doesn't pan out, then they're not going to like me, and I'm not going to be able to see my grandkids or whatever. You know what I mean? It's
mm-hmm.
it's you worry about the retribution there too, and the cutoff.
Well, and with the any reports that go to the DHS, those reports are confidential by law.
But based on what they're investigating, they may be able to figure out who's the only people who could have seen this.
Maybe,
if you know
maybe.
What I mean.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
sure. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, though, those reports. They're made and they're confidential, and so even if they went and asked the DHS worker, well, who told you this? They're not allowed to disclose under the law. But besides the DHS, if they want to make a report with the police, you know, they can do that. Because when it comes down to abuse and neglect situations, you know, my office handles that with cases that are brought by the DHS or the police to us. We file petitions on our own, even. We've had occasion this year, especially, it seems like with the number of situations we've had, we filed abuse and neglect petitions on our own without the intervention of the DHS.
And there are some under law that have to report suspected child abuse. There are certain occupations, certain people in children's lives that are bound by law to do this.
Correct. We do a mandatory training for that as well for all the professionals, and that's part of the CAN Council that puts that together and sponsors that to high schools, medical professionals, and people in those capacities to let them know that you know, you're a mandated reporter, and what that means is a mandated reporter.
And that means if you suspect something, you have to at least start the process to get it checked out.
Yeah, make the report. Make the report, because if they investigate and the investigator thinks that at the end of the day there isn't enough information there, that's the call by the investigator. But if it turns out that there was suspected child abuse, you were told about it and you didn't report it, or you were made aware of it and you did not report it, well, then there's legal ramifications that can befall on the person that fails to do that.
And I imagine it would bolster your case in court if there were several that were investigated. They just couldn't get enough information to make it stick, that, you know, you're more sure in your mind that something's going on.
It helps. It helps, because all those instances, whether a petition's been filed in the past or not, can be used eventually in a later petition. But, you know, because all we're after in the abuse and neglect cases is to make sure these children are protected. Whatever that is. I mean, if there's something going on in this child's life that's causing neglect or abuse, we deal with it. I mean, that's what we're asked to do, and that's what we do.
So there is confidentiality in this. You don't have to worry that, you know, everyone's going to know it was you and the ramifications that might come of that.
Correct.
Because I think that stops people. I think that's, you know, oh, gosh, they're just going to know it was me.
Yeah.
You have other things, June? I know we talked about the, I think that highlight about the building strong family
building
relations.
Strong family relations. You know, I have to recommend a movie. I do. Just because it was on Stars the other day, you know, and it just was a tearjerker. This movie is called A Home of Our Own. Kathy Bates stars in the movie. And if anybody ever has an opportunity to watch this movie, and I did look it up because you can buy it on Amazon.com or Wahoo.com, I highly recommend this movie. It's very humbling, this movie is. And talk about stress in this particular movie. It's about a mother who raised six children. She is a widow. Her husband passed away. And it happened in the early 60s. And so while raising her six children, she encountered mounting of difficulties, a lot of financial uncertainty, a lot of stress she had, and amongst with her kids. But this movie was inspiring to me because she was a strong lady, okay? She taught her children the American value. She taught them that they weren't a handout, okay? She taught them a whole lot of things, and yet, as a family, they work really hard together to try to accomplish their dream and their goal. And in the end, they did. But through it all, there was, like I said, mounting and mounting and mounting of stress. And in amongst that stress, too, I mean, she had the leather strap with her oldest son, and she'd give it to him every time he tried to express his stress and tried to talk about it. She didn't want to hear it, you know, and until one day she started dating. And when she started dating, again, she kept her values, and the gentleman didn't like her. Well, he wasn't even a gentleman, because then he punched her in the nose and, you know, beat her up. The son was there for her, took care of her. And the moral of that story in regard to the abuse part of it, when she was talking to her son, She had realized that it shouldn't hurt inside, you know, all the stresses that they were having, and outside at the same time, because she felt what it felt like, how it hurt on the outside. She was realized what she had been doing to her son, and it was wrong, you know. Yeah. And so that belt just ended up going outside, nailed to a tree, and it never came back again, you know. And they talked it through, and they worked on accomplishing their goals through, again, a lot of hard work. But they had little goals, and they accomplished a big thing, and they ended up getting their home. But it's just so humbling, and the movie is just a must see. And you know, I think it may, especially if people like me who are under stress, may make you take a look at things a whole big different picture of things. You know, I know today's world's different than the 1960s, but there was a very, very heartfelt meaning behind all that. So I really highly recommend it.
A Home of Our Own.
A Home of Our Own, yes, with Kathy Bates.
Again, if people have issues that they need to express, police, DHS, even your office can
correct.
Help.
Yep.
And if they need to know more about the CAN Council, how do they do that if they want to help you in your fundraising or actually maybe even become a part of it?
Yep. First of all, we have our website, okay? And our website is Huron County CAN Council. Council.org. Okay, so we have all the information of all our fundraisers and our parent education courses, everything. So take a look at that. Also, if you want any more information in regard to setting up teams, and I know our team forms are on our website too, so you can get the forms. But if there's any questions, then you can contact Kelly Braun, who is our coordinator, at 989-550-6261. And she will supply you with more information in regard to our programs or our upcoming roof sit fundraiser at McDonald's Food and Family in Bad Axe, February 3rd.
Well, thank you, Craig, for having us.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you for coming, and good luck with your fundraiser. And I'm sure Lowell McDonald will appreciate it if you don't go on his roof with your golf shoes.
Not a problem.
Our guests today on the program have been June Schweitzer and Tim Rutkowski, the Huron County Prosecutor. They're both board members of the Huron County CAN Council. And coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.
Today's What Do You Think program was brought to you by your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents. Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer and Deb McBride in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, and Tim Fritz in Bad Axe. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.